Tonight's shiur, Parshas Vayetze, sponsored by the Weinbach family of Ramat Beit Shemesh, Lili Nishmas Yaakov Yitzchak Ben Chaim. Sedra begins, Vayetze Yaakov mi Beersheva Vayelech Charana. Yaakov left Beersheva, he went to Charan, and Rashi comments that he left, says Rashi, Vayelech Charana Yatzah Lelechet LeCharan. He went to go to Haran. So they ask, well, he was going to Haran, how come it took him 14 years to get there? So you'll all answer, hey, we know, you know, the Midrashim, that he went to the Yeshiva Shem Ever, he learned for 14 years before he went to Haran. Okay, but then why does it say that he went to go to Haran? He wasn't. He was going to Yeshiva Shem Ever. He ended up after that. I mean, when you're going somewhere for 14 years, not like, you know, okay, I'm going to Yerushalayim, I don't have to tell you I'm stopping at the gas station, you know, okay, that's one thing. But if you're stopping at a place for 14 years, not exactly, well, I'm going to Haran. I would make a little pit stop for 14 years at Shem Ve'er, you know, that's not called, you know, going to Haran. So, what's Pshat? So, it's a Gevaltik Pshat from the name of the Asafis Kohen. It says like this, it's a Moran Kedushin on the Daf Kaftes. That brings a machloikus, what should a person do first? Should a person first learn Torah and then get married? Or should he get married and then learn Torah? So Mora brings that the answer to that question is halan v'halu. Mora says very often, many places in Shas, that sometimes the answer is, depends, halan, that refers to us, meaning in Bavel, and halahu in Eretz Yisrael, depends on where you're from, meaning that in Bavel, the people were, they were saying, lan, us in Bavel, we're poor, and since we're very poor, we have to learn Torah first. Why? Because it's difficult as it is, once you start having a wife and kids or whatever, and you don't have money, and you have to support everybody, you'll never get any learning down. So at least start off, you learn as much as you can, and then go out to, you get married afterwards. However, Lahu, over there in Eretz Yisrael, it's different. They're wealthy people over there. So as a result, they can afford to, you know, get married, have a wife and kids, and since they have plenty of money, they can still go to learn, even though after they're married, it doesn't affect them so much. So, says the following. Yaakov Avinu, he left Beersheba to go to Haran. Go to Haran, why? Because he had money. And as we learn from the Gemara and Kiddushin, if you have money, what do you do first? You go get married first. So he says, okay, going to Haran. Aye, but what happened? He's on the way to Haran, and who does he bump into? Eliphaz, the son of Esav. As we're familiar with the Midrash, right? Eliphaz came to Yaakov and said, I don't know what to do, because on the one hand, my father Esav told me to kill you. On the other hand, I feel, you know, Hakar Satov to your father Yitzchak, you know, I learned by him, and so I don't know what to do. And he says, okay, I have a suggestion. I'll give you all my possessions. And an ani is chashuv kameis. So it's like you listen to your father. That's what he did. So what happened? So now at this point, Yaakov said, uh-oh, I got no money now. So now I can't go get married first and learn Torah, because a poor person can't do that, can't afford that. He has to learn Torah first. So Mel at this point, he went to learn by the Yeshiva Shem Ever. So when he started off, he was going to go to Haran, because he said he had money then. But now that he was poor, he had to go now to learn Torah first. Gevalt. While on this Midrash, there's a beautiful vort, and Chidushi Alev says, brings a riva, that discusses this Medrash, which when you think about it, it's very strange. Again, you know, Eliphaz comes to Yaakov on the way, and he says, oh, I don't know what to do. He says, what's the problem? Well, my father commanded me to kill you. You know, and, you know, mitzvahs kibud av ve'eim. On the other hand, I feel, how can I do that? You know, karsatov to Yitzchak, etc. So the question, l'chur, is obvious. You know, why didn't Yaakov just tell Eliphaz, no problem, Eliphaz. It's a beferish halacha that if your father goes to tells you to do an avera, you don't listen to him. There's no kibud av ve'eim. Your father tells you, hey, go kill this guy. Oh, kibud av ve'eim, shoot him. No, you don't have to listen to him. Why? Chazdal tell us, we learn now from Smichos of Shabbos to Kibud Aveim, that if a father tells you it's Milchal Shabbos, you don't listen to it. Why? Because you and your father are both Chaya Bichvodi, says Hashem. You both have to listen to me. So you don't have to, it's a fair shalach. You don't listen to your father. He tells you to do an Avera. Certainly not if he tells you to kill somebody. So why didn't he, all he has to do is tell Eifel. The Eifel is not a problem. You don't know what to do. On one hand, Kibud Aveim, you know, your father told you to kill. On the other hand, you know, no problem. You don't have a mitzvah of Kibud Aveim. Father told you to kill, you don't have to kill. Instead, what does Yaakov do? No, he says, okay, he gives you all this stuff, and you can go, well, what's going on here? Says Gevaldi. He says that, the Gemara says, Lo Kedoris Arishonim Doris Achronim. Says that the generations now are not like it used to be. Says why? It used to be, you know, so nowadays, you know, a person is a pater from a mitzvah, you know, he's happy. He says, oh, great, you know, I have a stomach ache, so I don't have to put on film this morning. Oh, wonderful, great, I don't have, you know, I'm putter. You know, they like to be putter, you know, oh, I'll eat my fruit under the tree, the Gemara says over there in the Gemara, and then I won't have to take miser. Oh, good, how can I get around, I don't want to do the mitzvahs. And the other generations, laughingly, Dafka did things to mechayev themselves, they wanted to be chayev. So Mele, so too over here. Of course, Yaakov could have said to Eliphaz, no problem, Eliphaz, you don't have a mitzvah, no kibud aveim, your father told you to kill me. But that's like saying, oh good, I'm putter, you're putter. But he says, no, but let's not just say, hey, putter. Let's try to find a way where somehow we can, together, you know, think of a way to bekayim somewhat, anyways, the mitzvah kibud aveim. Because why just say not, putter? No, let's see that. Says, oh, you can't kill me, you're not allowed to kill me, and you don't have to listen to your father. Hey, wait a minute, I got a great idea. I'll give you all my things. Ani chashuv kemeis. So there, then in some way, that's considered kibud aveim, because he told you to kill me, and I'm like I'm killed, and it's a little bit of a great, it's a way to, that's a different, that was Yaakov Avinu. Let's try to, and he points out an unbelievable thing. We know by Yaakov Avinu, right, he was known to be, that he was careful of every penny. Right, the next week said, right, he went back for the pachim ktanim, these earthenware vessels. We've learned from here, Chazal say, that chaviva mamonim yoter migufam, right, they're so careful of every penny because it's their gifts from Hashem to use in this world, whatever. So he even went back for these worth, and risked his life for these earthenware vessels. And are these little junky vessels he was so careful on? What do you do now? Take everything! Everything I have, my thing, all my possessions, here, take it. he's careful. So we see, yeah, because to some person could be Makai in the mitzvah a little bit in some way, it's worth forgiving and give all this stuff. Okay, so it says, we said in the Pasuk, Yitzhi Yag Mirshava Yela Charan. They point out, the Chasam Soifer points out that over here, what's the lashon of him going to Charan? Vayelech Charana. Lalechet. Okay? But we see later on, and Yaakov later, he on his way, he stops, he has a dream, and after the dream, he finishes with the dream, and it says, Vayisa Yaakov Ragla Vayelech Arza Minikedem. Fine, so then he lifted up his feet, literally, and he went to Bnei Kedem. So he points out, what's this, Vayisa, it's a lashon of picking up your feet, it's like, he was like light-footed, you know, like, oh, no problem, and he just like went, you know. Whereas over here, we don't find, it doesn't say he picked up his foot and he went to Haran, it says Vayela Haran, he went. So what's the difference? So Chazal Sofer says, based on the Gemara and Brachas, on Davav and Beis, says over there, and where it brings down, that's how we hold also, right, that when a person leaves shul, he shouldn't run out. He shouldn't go out fast. He should go out slowly. Why? Because it shouldn't look like, oh good, I got this over, it's, you know, good, I can't wait, you know, get rid of this davening, go do my things now. Right? It looks like you're running away. Okay? So you should walk out slowly. However, there's an exception. What's the exception? If a person's leaving, but his kavana is he's going to come back, he's just leaving for a second, has to get some whatever and come right back, so then, not only, you know, are you allowed, it's a good idea to go fast. Why? Very simple. Because since you're going to come back, so the faster you leave, the faster you can get back. So, since it's to come back, it's a different story. Then you can go fast. Mele, says the Chasam Sofer, beautiful. He says over here, Yaakov Avinu doesn't say he went, you know, quickly. He says, why? Because he was leaving Eretz Yisrael. He was leaving like the shul, so to speak, Eretz Yisrael, Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, he went slowly, because it was hard for him to leave. Vayelech Aran, he went slowly. But then what happened? He had this dream. And what did Hashem tell him in the dream? Hashem tells him in the dream, Ushmarticha b'chol, take care of wherever you go. Vashivosicha el hadamazos. Says, I'll take you, bring you back to here. So Yaakov says, oh, I'm coming back? When you leave a shul, but you're going to come back, you have to hurry up, because the quicker you go, quicker you can get back. Memele over here, says the Chasam Sofer, says, Vayisa Yaakov Ragov Vayelech. He picked up his feet, went fast. Up until now, he was going slow, because he thought, I have to leave the shul slow, leave Eretz Yisrael slowly. But now I'm coming back, Hashem told me. Oh, go quickly. Sooner I leave, sooner I get back. It says, in the dream, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, So he says your seed is going to be like the afar haaretz, that Klal Yisrael has come from you are going to be like the dirt of the ground, whatever. So they say that what's the analogy? Why are we likened to dust, right? The dirt of the ground. And because of when people walk on dirt, what happens? The dirt doesn't say anything. The dirt is quiet. Doesn't say anything. You're running through the dirt. Dirt's quiet, keeps quiet. But what happens? And after you finish, you look at yourself, it's all over you. Right? It's went all over you. So Mela, so to the Yidden. In Galus now, the Goyim are trampling all over us. But in the end, we're going to be on top. It's the Afar. Similarly, it's a cute Maisa with the Malbim. There was once one of the Maskil, right? The Enlightenment. So he was in university, and he had a problem because the university didn't want to give degrees to Jews. So he figured, okay, so what? They allowed him to, you know, to learn it, but they wouldn't give him his final degree if he's a Jew. So he goes to the Malbim and he says, "Listen, I want a heter here." He says, "What?" So I want to, you know, convert because, not really convert, you know, pretend convert because I want to get my degree, you know. So I figured, what's the big deal? What the priest is gonna is take some water and sprinkle it on me, you know, and say you're a goy, and so big deal. So what's a few drops? I know deep down I'm still a Jew, you know. So who cares? Let him sprinkle some water on me. So the Malbim answered him, and he said, as we said, says Vaya Zaracha Kafara. So why is it? Why are the Jewish people likened to dirt, afar haaretz? He says, because what happens, you have dirt, take a little bit of water and sprinkle on it. What happens? It turns into mud. So, yeah, a little sprinkle on dirt, it kind of turns into mud. Which reminds me of the joke, it's an old joke, but you can laugh anyways. There was once a priest that he wanted to, you know, try to convince the Jews to convert. So he offered them a prize. He says, whoever converts, I'll give him $1,000. And not only that, says no big deal. Says all you have to do is makabel on yourself one thing, and that's it. What's that? Not to eat gefilte fish. That's it. Also, I have to promise you're not going to eat gefilte fish. So there was one yid, Nebuch, you know, very poor, you know, and $1,000, he can really use that $1,000. So he goes, what the heck? So he goes to the priest, he goes, okay, I'm ready. He says, yeah, you're gonna convert? He goes, yeah, no problem. He says, and you're makabel not to eat gefilte fish? He says, yeah, no problem. Just give me the money, you know. So he says, okay, fine. So come here. So he takes his hand, and he goes, you are a goy. You are a goy. You are a goy. So the Jew says, sticks out his hand, okay, can I have my money now? So he goes, yeah, fine, good. He gives him the money and he leaves. So afterwards, the priest is thinking to himself, I don't know, this something's epis fishy, no pun intended, over here. You know, very easily, yeah, sure, no problem. Jews don't, you know, give in so easy like that, you know. So he says, I have my suspicions about this guy. So he says, I'm going to check things out. So sure enough, Leil Shabbos, he goes to the Yid's house. You know, he peeks through the window, and he sees she makes kiddush or whatever, and comes up, makes motzi. Okay, fine. And all of a sudden, they serve the first course. He failed the fish. I don't believe it. He breaks in through the door. He says, "You cheater! You liar! You did." He goes, "What?" He says, "You took the money. You said you're going to prompt not going to fail the fish. Look, he's going to fail the fish." So the Jew looks at him. He goes, "Shh, take it easy. Take it easy. Not a problem." He looks at the gefilte the fish. He puts his hands over and says, "You are a chicken. You are a chicken. You are a chicken." Okay. Anyways, yeah. It says, "Vayashkema Yaakov aboker v'kachas even." So after the dream, Yaakov got up in the morning. He took the stone and he put under his head. V'yasem otam atzeva. He made it a monument like a mizbeach. V'yitzok shemen al rosha. And he poured oil on it. So the Midrash says, where did he get this oil from? And he poured this oil from. Where does this oil come from? So one day in the Midrash says that it was sent to him from Shemayim. Hashem brought him this from Shemayim, this oil. However, the Panei Achraza says that where did this oil come from? Yaakov Avinu had it in his stick. He had this makel, this stick that he used to carry with him. And inside the stick, it was hollow, he opened it up, and he had oil. And with that oil, he sustained himself in the night times, and to be able to learn Torah. I guess he would, you know, light the fire with it, and he would be able to stay up all night learning with this oil that was in this stick. Which they say, now we can also understand another thing. Right? It says, in next week's Sedra, it says that Yaakov Avinu says, "Ki v'makli avarti et ha-yarden hazeh." It says he says that I crossed the Yarden with this makel, and right after that, the next pasuk says, "Hashem hatzileni na miyad achim miyad Esav." Hashem saved me from my brother Esav. So what's the connection? Well, very good. What was Yaakov Avinu saying? I crossed with this makel. What was in his makel? Oil. Without oil, I stayed up learning every night. So therefore, what he was saying was, in fact, "Hatzileni na miyad achim miyad, saved me from my brother." And what's chus? In the schus of the Torah, of this makel that I learned Torah with. Okay, it says, Per Kaftes Pasuk Yud Gimel, after Yaakov Avinu saw Rachel, etc., met her, and then she went home, told her father, and so what happened? Vehi kishmo Lavan et shema Yaakov. So Lavan heard about Yaakov ben Achotov, v'yaratz likratov. He ran to him, v'yichabeklo. He hugged him, v'yinasheklo. He kissed him, v'yivyel. He brought him to his house. So probably also familiar with the Rashi over here, that he was. It sounded like a nice guy. You know, he runs over, he hugs him, he kisses him. Very nice. Says Rashi, no, based on Chazal, he had other plans. He wanted his money. Right? Vayarsi katozes Rashi kasuvur mamun hu taun. He probably has a lot of money. Okay, so he ran to him, vichabek, right? Kshalo ra'ayimo klum amar shem azuvi mevi veinem mecheko. Maybe he's hiding him. It's in his coat. So he's like, you know, hugging him to try to feel him, you know, maybe he has some money. Also didn't find anything. V'yinashenklo, says Rashi, amar shema margilotevi v'heim bepiv. Maybe they're in his mouth, whatever. Okay, so he's searching for money, you know, money. It's interesting, though, it's, okay, you know, Chazal tells, you know, believe Chazal, but where did they get this from? I mean, when you read the Pasuk, it doesn't seem that way. It seems like a nice guy. Right? He runs to him. No, he's searching for money. He's, you know why he hugged him to find the money? Why he kissed him to see if he has money in his mouth and the jewels in his mouth? Where did Chazal see this from? It says the Chafetz Chaim, he saw from the end of the Sedra. Why? The end of the Sedra ended, right? When it says, Perek Lamed Beis Pasuk Aleph, it's at the beginning of the Maftir, it says Vayashkem Lavan Baboker Vinashek. He was saying goodbye now to his family. You know, they're leaving them, they're parting. And it says he got up in the morning early, he kissed his sons, his daughters, v'yavarecheshem, and he blessed them, and there he left, v'yelech v'yashav lavan, and he went back home. So Chafetz Chaim says, wait a second, he kissed his sons, he kissed his daughters. What about kissing his son-in-law? Here he runs him, kisses him, you know. He didn't kiss him? Why didn't he kiss his son? Why didn't he kiss Yaakov here? Only his sons and daughters? Why didn't he kiss Yaakov? There it is. Because he was interested in kissing Yaakov. He was interested in his money. So over there, he thought he was rich, he had money. He was running, kissed him, see, like we said, see what we thought. But then he heard already he had no money. And Eliphaz took everything, you know, he told him the whole story. He said, he had no money, so what have to kiss him for? So he ended up at the end of the study. Says in Berkav Tes, Pasuk Tezvav. So Yomer Lavan Yaakov. So he says to Yaakov, Achiyata Vavatani Chinam. Says, what are you going to work for me for free? Agida Li Master, what's going to tell me what payment you want? A little strange, you know. So what do you work for nothing? What would be so terrible if you worked for nothing? I mean, Lavan was not the guy likes to pay, you know. And we know he ripped them off and everything. So why all of a sudden now he says, what, you're going for nothing? Tell me what you want, what your wages are. Why? He should have been happy if he'd been working for free. So the answer is that we know that a shomer chinam is pater from Gneva Naveda. Whereas a shomer sachar, somebody that gets paid to watch something, is he's chayiv not only pshia, also for Gneva and Aveda as well. So Lavan was a smart guy. He says, if he's going to work for me for free and watch my sheep for free, be a shomer chinam, so if anything it happens, stolen, lost, whatever, I won't be able to claim it from him. So therefore, I'd rather pay him a little bit of money, make him into a shomer sachar, and now, I'm not going to pay him a lot, you know, but I'll pay him something, and that's all I need, a Shabbat Prutza even, and he's already a Shomer Sachar, and then if something happens, I can already claim that he's a Shomer Sachar, I can claim from him money, he's not a Shabbat from Gnev and Aved anymore. So, a little thing, it says, Kaftet Yudtet in the Pasuk, so we have Yaakov's Rachel, Vayomer, I'll work for 7 years, Rachel Bichaktana. So then Lavan says, "V'yomer Lavan, tov titi otalach mititi otale ishacher shavai madi." So after he said, "I want to work for Rachel," so he says, "Tov titi it's lach is better. I should give her to you mititi otale ishacher." Very funny. What's titi tatat? What the tuti? What's all these toots going on over here? Right? Tov titi otal mititi otale ish. So again, Lavan was a smart guy, right? He was hinting something over here. What was he hinting? Titi. Taf Taf Yud in Gematria is 810, which is in Gematria Ktana, you add the numbers, which is 8, 1, and 0 is 9. Now 9 is the same Gematria Ktana as Leah. Okay, Mi Titi is the Gematria Ktana is 13, which is the same Gematria Ktana as Rachel. So Mele, what was he saying? Tov Titi, that's Leah. Tov titi otach, I'd rather give you Leah mititi than give you Rachel. So here he was, he switched them, and he was saying, I told you. Tov titi otach, I told you Leah, no, I'm better to give you Leah than give you Rachel. Okay. Yeah. So we're familiar also, of course, with the Maisa of the Simanim, right, that Yaakov was worried about this, that he's going to switch, and maybe Lavan's going to switch. So he gave Rachel the simanim that he'll be able to know if there's a switch going on. So Leah won't know the simanim, Rachel was, and then he'll be able to catch her. But as Chazal tell us, Rachel, the tzedekis, didn't want to see her sister embarrassed, and she gave her the simanim. So the question is asked, though, of Shalom Shvadron asks, he says, okay, you know, that's true, very nice of her. But what about Yaakov? You know, that was very nice, you know, but Yaakov made an agreement with her. says, here, you know, make agreement, I need a simanim, so they'll know. And then she goes again and gives it to someone and betrays him and gives a simanim to somebody else, you know, to Leah. I mean, okay, she cares about Leah, but what about Yaakov? Yaakov wants to marry her and everything, and now she, you know, gave a simanim, made a deal with her, whole agreement, and she just, you know, throw it out the window, I can understand, you know, she wanted to have her sister embarrassed or whatever, but what about Yaakov Avinu? I mean, who, you know? So he answered with the Maisa, with Rabbi Yeshua Brim. He was a Talmud of the Chazon Ish. And story goes that the one Leil Seder, Leil Pesach, there was a mishpacha, an almana woman, she had no husband and a few kids, and he felt very bad for her, and he wanted to have, you know, nobody to lead the Seder, the little kids and it's her, you know. So he approaches Avreich, and young Avreich said, "Would you, you know, would like to do a mitzvah? You know, we would go with your wife to this almana, make Leil Seder over there, and you know, very nice." So he said, "Okay." But what happened in the last minute? He got cold feet, and he decided he's not going. So Yeshua got word of that, and he felt bad. You know, now they're not going to have anybody. So he said, he heard about it was a mamash in shul. You know, he heard about after Mar. So he decided he's going to go to the Alman and do Leil Seder for her. So he did. He went there, and Mamash went through from the beginning to the whole Seder, right through the Shulchan Aruch. And at which point, he just said, okay, after the meal, you know, I got to go now, it's getting a little late, and my family waiting, you know. So he says, you just eat the meal, after that finish up the Seder, it says you're in Nagada, and so, okay, they thanked him profusely, and he ran home. He ran, you know, it was getting late, and his mishpacha, you know, not doing, hadn't done the Seder. So he comes in, and I go, where have you been? What's going on? What that? He says, I can't explain now, it's gonna be chatzot soon, we gotta do this quick. And he quickly, you know, helped him with the Seder, and make sure the afikoma, my chatzot, whatever, that. Fine, so after everything was done, they made it in time. So they said, where were you? What's going on? How can you come over so late? So he said, told him the story, you know, this guy was supposed to do Leil Seder for his almana, and didn't work out last minute, so I decided to go. So they said, okay, you know, very big mitzvah you did on the one, but then again, what about us? You know, what, you don't have a mitzvah to be with us and do Leil Seder with us? You know, what about us? So he said, I hear, and definitely that ran through my mind. However, I did what I did because I have a Kabbalah from my Rebbe, the Chazon Ish. So what are you talking about? I said, I'll tell you. What happened was, once, I was osik in this shidduch, and the Chazon Ish asked me to be osik in it, whatever, and I made the shidduch in this cup or whatever, and it was a big thing, and they're a koveya to make tanayim, you know, make the vor. So they called him for a certain time, and the Chazon Ish, since he was involved in the whole thing, he agreed he was going to come at a certain time, whatever, 8 o'clock, whatever, and to say a few words at 9 or whatever, be there. Good. So he says, Shua says, I went with my Chavrusa, and we went to the Chazon Ish to pick him up, you know, to take him to the, bring him to the, go with him to the tonight. So we go there, you know, in time to, so he can get there on time. And we see that he's inside his room talking to this, like, elderly couple. So we're waiting, you know, he's looking at our watch, getting later and later and later, and he's not, like, budging, you know, and it's already, now it's already 8 o'clock, and I still got to get there, and 8:15, time's going by, and he's not. So they kind of, you know, made their presence known, you know, like, stuck their head, like, you know, it's late. And he just, like, kind of ignored them, and just went on with this couple. And then they were listening to the, you know, because they thought, well, probably very hush of a meeting here, I don't know, whatever. But then they were listening kind of in, and they heard that the man and the woman, they're asking the Chazon Ish questions like, and how many needles should we buy? And he tells them. And how much thread? And he tells them. And like, he's like, what's going on over here? Anyways, it took a while. Finally, the couple got up to leave. So as soon as they left, the Chazon Ish jumps up, grabs his hat, and he says, okay, let's go. So he said, Rebbe, what's going on over here? You know it's late, and we're already very late, and we had the time to go there. And okay, I can understand, you know, but this, speaking about pins and needles, like, what's going on? So he said, listen, I'll explain to you. He says, this couple, they're survivors of the Holocaust. They're a Nebuch couple. And they decided to open up a little business of sewing supplies, you know. And they're an older couple, and they, you know, they went through a lot in life, and they're very lonely in this, and they you know, trying to make ends meet. So they come to me to ask me, you know, help them out with their business, how many pins to buy, needles, thread, whatever. And it makes them feel good that I, you know, help them out and tell them what to buy. So, you know, it's a big mitzvah to give these people chizuk. Ah, you'll ask me, what about the people waiting for me in the hall, you know, for the vor, for the tanayim, you know, what about them? So he says, listen, what do you think, it's only my mitzvah to help this almana? It's a mitzvah only incumbent upon me? No, it's incumbent upon everybody. It just happens that, you know, they came to me, but it's really everybody's mitzvah. So therefore, if people are waiting for me to come, whatever, because I'm dealing with this couple, I'm really like a shaliach for everybody. So when they're waiting for me, they're part of the mitzvah. And they're waiting for me. I'm just part of help doing the mitzvah for them, so to speak, with them. And therefore, them waiting is all part of the mitzvah. So it's not a problem making them wait for me, because they're just doing the mitzvah with me. Memela, said Rabbi Yeshua, that's the Kabbalah from that mitzvah that happened with me in the Chazon Ish. So too here is the same thing. You know, to help this almana, Leil Seder, whatever, it's not a mitzvah only on me, it's a mitzvah on you also. Elamai, I happen to be doing it. But so therefore, when you wait for me to, you know, through the Seder, so you get part of the mitzvah. So Mele says, so too, with Rachel and Leah, right? And we said, very nice, Rachel, you gave the simanim, you know, to your, you know, to Leah, but what about Yaakov? So Leah and Rachel could say the same thing. You know, not to embarrass Leah, this is a mitzvah, and not only coming upon me, right? It's a coming upon you too, Yaakov. I saw on your cheshbon, yeah, on your cheshbon, but it's a mitzvah that you also have. And for, okay, I did it, but it's a mitzvah that I did it for you too. So let's end with one last little thing, that the... we see later on with the also in the Seder at the Parsha with the Dudaim that Reuben came with the Dudaim and this fertility drug and for his mother, and Rachel, you know, wanted it, and she says, what, you're taking this, it's not enough, you took my husband, you want to take my Dudaim? So she says, no problem, you can have the husband. And even though she was supposed to be the Yaakov was supposed to be with Rachel, he was Mevater on that night with Mevater on Yaakov, and gave him to Leah. So the Chasam Sofer points out that there is twice that Rachel was Mevater to Leah. One, we said the Simanim, giving over the Simanim, and the second time was over here, giving the husband over to Leah. So he says, in the schus of those two things, she was Zoche to the base, to Bate Migdash, where the Bate Migdash was in the Chelek of Binyamin, which was Rachel's kid. So she was Zoche that the base of Migdash should be in her Chelek, because she was Mevater twice to her sister. The first base of Migdash, she says, how long was it? How was it around? For 410 years. The second was for 420 years. What's 410 and 420? 830. Which is reminiscent of the pasuk we say concerning Rachel, Yesh schar lipula seich, right? That you don't worry, Rachel. Hashem says to her, you'll have schar for your actions. Yesh schar lipula. Yesh schar in gematria is 830. So yeah, you're mevater twice, but you're getting yesh schar lipula. You'll have the two batei mikdash, 410 years and 420 years, 830. So at Hashem, we should all be zocha to the binyan beis hamikdash shlishi. The Karabi Yemenu. Amen.